The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back after a little emergency trip up to New York City to be with our daughter, Amelia, who had a really terrible infection in a tooth, which led to a root canal yesterday. She was actually in the ER Sunday morning. It was so bad, and started a week ago. And God was kind and gracious, and I was able to get up there and be with her. And then just got to a great endodontist yesterday, and she's doing much better. So if you think about that, pray for our daughter. Amelia, full recovery, and just grateful and thankful that I could get up there and be with her. If you're a parent, you know what that's like. Anyway, it's good to be back and back in the chair here today, and we'll be back, God willing, tomorrow. And then Thursday, I should be live down in Greenville, South Carolina, with our friends at BJU Seminary, doing the show down there with Renton Rathbun. And then Friday, back in the house. And just rip roaring, and got a lot going on. And this Friday, an incredible book that my wife, somebody had given it to her, Imagine Heaven, by John Burke, who's a pastor in Texas, and he did just an extensive study of all these near-death experiences around the world, believers, non-believers, different faiths, fascinating, encouraging. I think you'll find it challenging and encouraging all at the same time. So that's Friday. But let's start with a few headlines, shall we? Maybe you saw this one, retiring Dr. Fauci to be honored with a 21 booster shot salute. How apropos. Congregation braces themselves for a rough 7 minutes after worship leader says next song is an original. NPR clarifies disinformation team's job. I appreciate this one. Will be to spread more disinformation. That's excellent. This one's good for those of you with a big heart out there. 10 ways to help the struggling people of Ukraine with minimal effort. It's another good one. And let's see, another one. Uvalde police criticize Indiana mall armed citizen for not waiting around outside for an hour. These are shocking headlines, are they not? And there is a point behind them. And for those of us that are a little bit older, you're still wondering, whenever I post anything or you see something from the Babylon Bee, you take it 100% seriously. You're not quite sure what's going on there. And it's a Christian website, nevertheless. And so what's the deal with the Babylon Bee? We love the Babylon Bee. I'm a big fan. And I was in Nashville recently and heard the two head honchos over there at the Babylon Bee and wanted to get them on the show, and then ran into Kyle Mann and his bride walking through the monstrous hotel there. And he was kind enough to engage me. We had a good conversation, and he was kind enough to agree to be on the show today. Kyle Mann, editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee. How are you, brother?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. Thanks for your time. I know it's limited and probably stretched, but really appreciate you being on today. And it's been funny, Kyle, and I want to get into the background and the history of the Bee and your history there and kind of talk about all the different things that God has done here. It's very interesting. Do we call it a ministry? I don't know. We'll get into all of that. But it's really been funny over the last couple of years to watch people. I'm 56, my age and up particularly, struggle not knowing how to take you guys when they see these satirical headlines out there. I'm sure you guys see a lot of that yourselves.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We have the fun job of making up fake news by reading the real news headlines, which and the real struggle is trying to come up with something more absurd than things that that have already happened. So
yes,
that's our everyday, man.
Yes, we are living in absurdity. So to go beyond that really takes some unique gifting and some talent. So let's jump in the kind of the Wayback Machine, and then we're going to end up by the end of the show. By the way, everybody, this will make sense to you when we get to the new book that Kyle's involved with. It just came out, The Postmodern Pilgrim's Progress, which will be hilarious. But it'll all make sense as we flow through this. But let's jump in the Wayback Machine here, Kyle, and just help us understand, where did the Babylon Bee come from in the first place?
Well, there was a guy named Adam Ford who was writing he was drawing a reformed web comic, so it was kind of very, very niche theological audience for this web comic, and it would kind of make some serious points but also make you laugh and comment on everyday life and politics as well as theology. And he read a headline from The Onion, and he thought to himself, you know, I disagree with these guys, but I really appreciate the humor that they've used to make this point. And so he kind of said, I wish there was some kind of outlet that, you know, could communicate a biblical worldview, or that at least was written from a perspective that doesn't hate Christians and doesn't hate conservatives, but has a good sense of humor. So he launched the Babylon Bee back in March 2016, and it was just kind of an overnight viral success, you know, because I think he had a good sense of there was a real void for that kind of thing inside the church.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, I don't think we laugh nearly enough inside the church. I don't think a lot of Christians probably struggle with satire as they do with sarcasm, trying to figure out, is there something wrong with me if I'm laughing at a salacious headline that's actually satirical? But I think there's a great need out there. Kyle, you guys have seen this, obviously, with the immense success that you've had, that people just need to, you know, I often say that a lot of us Christians, especially conservative evangelicals, people that went to places, I don't know, like the Master's College, sometimes we can have a fist face, right? We're so uptight, we're so disappointed in the world that we forget it's okay to laugh every once in a while.
How dare you, sir? How dare you insult the fine people of the Master's College and people who might have attended the Master's College? How dare you? This interview is over.
Canceled once again.
You know, the best butt of a joke is often the person who can't laugh at a joke.
Yes.
And I think we Christians have figured that out, and that's why people may have made fun of us for so long. But yeah. I mean, God has given us a sense of humor, and it's good to be able to laugh at yourself. And it's really sad that Christians and people on the right kind of ceded the humor space to the left, to the secular left, for so long, mm-hmm. because humor is a gift from God, and it's great to be able to laugh at yourself and not take yourself so seriously. It takes away, you know, it really hits at our pride, and it kind of humbles you a little bit to be able to look at your own culture, you know, small church culture or whatever it is, and be able to laugh at that. So that's kind of the mission that we're trying to accomplish through the Bee, I think.
Yeah, because there's really nobody gets out alive at the Babylon Bee. It's not like you're just making fun of ridiculous headlines in the world of politics, but in theology, in the church, in the culture in general, and really, there's no escape for us as Christians. And sometimes, like you said, Kyle, we take ourselves way too seriously. Real quick, up against the first break, but Kyle, I'm going to put you on hold. I look forward to unfolding this hour with you. We got a lot of ground to cover with Kyle Mann. He's the editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee. And if you find yourself getting upset and offended and you're just shocked at some of the things that we might talk about and being humorous, well, as the Babylon Bee would say, take it up with God. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com, by way of Facebook Live or YouTube Live, yada, yada, yada. You can join me right here in the studio and see my awesome Star Wars Lego stuff. And we also have conversation during the break if you're on Facebook or YouTube during the show or the podcast. You want to have it your way whenever, wherever you get podcasts. We're on all the big ones. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're on iHeartRadio, blah, 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 all those different places. So you can catch it whenever you want. Today, I hope you brought a healthy dose of humor with you because we're talking to Kyle Mann, the editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee. And here's these. And then, Kyle, I want to throw one at you on the just a curveball. This just happened like an hour ago. But here's some. I like this one. A newly transitioned woman proudly runs over first curb. Now, Kyle, there's a lot of women out there that are probably offended by that, don't you think?
Well, what is a woman anyway? You know, that's the real.
You would go there, of course. Well, I'm not a biologist. I'm just a talk radio show guy that teaches homeschoolers as well. So let me ask you this, and then I want to dive back into kind of what's going on at the Babylon Bee. And by the way, everybody, if you're not supporting the Babylon Bee in one way or another, I am. I subscribe to the Babylon Bee as well as not the Bee, and that's kind of the serious side of it. And then we're also going to talk about the Postmodern Pilgrim's Progress, a new book that Kyle's involved with by the end of the show. But go to those and support them, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter, where you can't always read their stuff anyway, but BabylonBee.com, and support these guys. They're doing a great thing here in the nation and around the world, and using humor to make a point, which we all need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And sometimes you can be a little edgy with that. So like an hour ago, Kyle. AOC and a bunch of other members of the squad were arrested outside the Supreme Court because they were blocking the street. You're not supposed to do that. You can protest, but you can't block the street. And so they've got AOC on camera. Somebody filmed it, of course, because everybody's a cameraman now. And she's walking away, and you just see her from the front, and she's got her hands behind her back, clasped together like she's cuffed. But when she walks by the camera, she's actually not cuffed, and then she puts her power fist up. It's kind of a funny moment. But how long will it take you guys with something that's a breaking news story like that? How long will it take you for something like that to show up at the B?
Well, we're currently workshopping some jokes for it now, so keep an eye out. In the next hour or so, I liked the pit. I'm looking at some of my writer's pitches here. AOC straps herself into Hannibal Lecter gurney for police to roll her away. Invisibly handcuffed AOC taken away in invisible police car to invisible jail cell. You know, so we're look for something along those lines coming soon.
Oh, that's going to be beautiful. So how would you tell, when people are like, hey, Kyle, where do you work? And you're at the Babylon Bee. How do you explain the mission? Like, what's the mission of the Bee?
Yeah. Well, we kind of say that we are speaking truth using humor. And, you know, there's a wide kind of range of applications of that and different ways that humor communicates truth. On the one level, you know, like we were talking about before the break, humor communicates something about the nature of God to people, and it communicates something about our place in the universe. I think there's a real humility that comes out of humor, and it can help people cope with difficult times. It can get us through. It can make us look at the news and not get stressed out, but instead be able to laugh at how silly a lot of the things that we do are. You know, there's a sense in which, you know, humor is like defying the darkness, you know?
Yeah.
You look at the evil that's looming on the horizon and you laugh at it. And so I think there's something really powerful, divinely powerful about humor. And also, I mean, humor has a way of communicating a message that's a way that that you can't really get with straight talk. G.K. Chesterton once wrote that humor can get in under the door while seriousness is still fumbling at the handle. And so that's kind of how we look at it, is that you can write so many blog posts that you can – I have so many different radio hosts, you know, some good, some not so good. And, you know, speaking just the truth in a straight way is only going to be able to reach so many people, where humor can get at it in a way where your guard's down and you haven't thought about it that way before.
Well, like for somebody like me that never pictured myself being in radio or doing this kind of stuff years ago, but I started listening to Rush Limbaugh when I was probably 28 or 30. And the guy understood the power of humor. He used it all the time. Lots of satire. He even did songs and had songs created. He definitely understood the power of humor, as well as just being entertaining. And if all you do is talk about doom and gloom all the time, for us as Christians, Kyle, I've struggled with this for years. I became an activist in 2004. Radio started in 2007. And I just spend so much time in the doom and gloom and the brokenness of the world that I sell my joy down the river for a bowl of stew, as if this is all there is and that God isn't still ruling the universe with his feet up. And I think that's been a really huge blessing for the Babylon Bee to people like me and a lot of others, obviously, is that it just causes you to pause, laugh a little bit. And when you look at the ridiculousness of the world, but we remain brokenhearted. You're a gospel guy. I'm a gospel guy. The Babylon Bee is made up of gospel people. We understand that there's brokenness out there, but man, it can certainly drag you down if you're not willing to smile and even laugh.
Yeah, we have a lot of people that say that they only consume the news through the Babylon Bee.
Oh, boy.
Maybe that's not a good thing, but I think there is some truth to it in that while you're scrolling your news feed, you know, they call it doom scrolling, where you're just kind of flipping through and getting more and more depressed. And all of a sudden you see a Babylon Bee headline. You know, our hope is that there's kind of a split second where you do that double take and go, oh, that, you know, it's a joke. I think there's a sense of relief that comes with that, you know, and you can laugh at a current event news headline rather than be freaked out by it. And I think that's a good thing.
How do you guys help each other walking through all this? Because, I mean, I do live radio 5 days a week and have for years, and I really have to check myself. There's all kinds of things that in my flesh I want to say, but then the spirit will hold me back. How do you guys deal with that? Because humor especially can be dangerous that way.
Yeah, you always have to weigh a lot of different considerations when you're putting a joke out there. You know, is it worth it? You know, you may have a really clever joke and then go, you know what? It's gonna give people the wrong idea. It's too vulgar. It's, you know, the joke isn't really funny enough when you weigh it against the risk of how some people are going to get offended by it. So you do have to look at all of those considerations. You know, like we want to lift up things that are lovely and good and excellent and praiseworthy and all that. Like, so we don't necessarily want to, sometimes, you know, we'll have the perfect joke that really goes for the jugular and you're like, it's not helpful. Yeah. So we're going to hold back on that. So that's a constant editorial consideration every time we throw a joke up.
Yeah, and I think more of us could probably use that kind of approach when it comes to our social media lives in general, whether it involves humor or not. How did you find your way there? We're going to hit the break in about a minute, but let's start that. How did you end up at the Babylon Bee, Kyle?
Yeah, I did. I started sending in headlines. The first headline I ever sent in was Holy Spirit unable to move through congregation as fog machine breaks. And I fired that in the day the Babylon Bee launched, and I was quickly kind of hired as the head writer. So then I was just working a normal construction sales job and eventually got hired full-time as the editor-in-chief, quit my job, and made the leap into the wide, exciting world and fast-growing world of Christian news satire.
Yes, and you guys are the Titanic of that, at least pre-iceberg. But we're going to talk about some icebergs out there trying to sink you guys. Let's talk about cancel culture when we come back. Kyle, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll keep talking to Kyle Mann, editor-in-chief of The Babylon Bee. Make sure you follow them, Twitter, Facebook, their YouTube channel, the websites, thebabylonbee.com. And we're going to talk about Elon Musk as well. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, spending the hour today talking to Kyle Mann, who's the editor-in-chief of The Babylon Bee. Make sure you follow The Bee wherever you can, Facebook, YouTube, video content. We'll talk about that, Twitter, when they're not banned. And speaking of that, Kyle, again, thanks so much for your time today. I can't imagine how busy you guys are, but we really appreciate your time as well as you in and of itself. So thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so cancel culture, let's talk about that because you guys have been through the ringer on that. So take us back to kind of when that first happened and what that was like for everybody at the Babylon Bee to all of a sudden be ground zero for cancel culture.
Yeah, we've had attacks on the Babylon Bee since day one. You know, we've had fact checkers come after us. We've had social media come after us, big tech news networks, the New York Times, CNN, Snopes, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, you name it. And we've had run-ins with them when it comes to censorship of comedy, which is just funny, you know.
That is funny.
First time it happened. But
I was going to say, isn't fact-checking satire ridiculous in and of itself?
It's ridiculous. So back in 2018 or 2017, we had an article that was CNN purchases industrial washing machine to spin the news. And, you know, kind of a stupid joke, but it got fact checked. And then Facebook told us that we were going to have our reach reduced and that we were going to be deplatformed and demonetized for sharing fake news because we said that CNN was going to spin the news in a washing machine. And that was the first time that our eyes were kind of open to how ridiculous these fact checkers are when they come after comedy. But yeah, and then more recently we've been banned from Twitter. We still haven't gotten back on there because we refuse to bend the knee to their definition of what a man is and what a woman is.
Right.
So it's been crazy.
And these are for an organization like the Babylon Bee, Kyle, these are serious issues because you mentioned deplatforming and Facebook turning down the reach because that has an effect on monetizing the platform in general, right? I mean, that's a serious deal. It's not just an annoyance or thought police. This actually affects the bottom line of the business.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a comedic element to it. It does make us laugh, but also, like, we don't have a Twitter account. We can't access we can't reach our 1.5 million followers on Twitter all of a sudden because you tell one joke that Twitter decides they don't like. And that's a scary thing when you have these big corporations that can just kind of flip the switch based on their own ideology and all of a sudden we're not able to reach people. So it's been a real problem and a real challenge for us to overcome that kind of stuff as we try to tell jokes.
Have any of these guys actually been willing to have a substantive conversation about this? Because to the rest of us, to your average person, if they're intellectually honest at all, they would go, oh, okay, this is satire, this is comedy. So the same rules don't apply. It's not like regular, quote-unquote, journalism.
Yeah, well, yeah. They won't really have any kind of conversation about this stuff. You know, we'll try to appeal these things, and they won't really get back to you. We had a post deleted from Facebook, and we'd reached out, and we kind of went through the appeal process, and they were like, no, you know, we're going to do a manual review of this, and yeah, you really are calling for violence, you know, which was ridiculous. It was just a silly Monty Python joke that we were telling. And so, you know, there's kind of an algorithm component where the AI will flag something as problematic, but then humans will come along and review it and say, yep, that's correct. You know, you're flagged for misinformation. So it's really just talking in circles when you try to appeal these things to the big tech companies.
So has their attempts at canceling the Babylon Bee, has that ultimately turned around? Is this kind of a Joseph situation, and what Satan intended for evil, God has used for good? Because obviously it enrages the base, and it makes us want to support you even more, and it gets the word out there even more. So has that kind of come full circle at this point?
Yeah, it's, you know, strike down the Babylon Bee and we'll become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Yeah.
That really comes right close to my heart, Kyle, when you're dropping Star Wars references. So thanks for
that. Star Trek reference. Yeah, oh. No, so...
wow. All right, this interview's over. Now it's my turn.
I didn't mean to trigger you. Okay. Yeah, I mean, but there's truth to that too, right? It does help us on one level, but in the long term... Like, what if every single social network cut us off? What if our web server decided we couldn't be hosted on their servers? You know, what if our email provider decided we couldn't send out emails? What if our payment processor decided that we can't make money from our subscribers? So there is a point at which that's no longer true and it doesn't help us at all. But, yeah, in the short term, there's obviously some benefits because people see how ridiculous it is on its face.
Yeah, and then, but obviously it's not slowing you guys down because you're expanding a lot and doing a lot more video content, which I want to get to. But I wanted to ask real quick, Kyle, what was it like to spend that time with Elon Musk? That was a fascinating interview.
Oh, that was such a crazy time. We had like one day to prepare for that. He just randomly said, sure, you can interview me. And we flew out and did it. And he seemed like such a genuine guy and such a real thinker, you know.
Yeah.
You would ask him a question about rocket science and he'd talk about it for 10 minutes. You know, you could ask him a question about philosophy or wokeness or whatever, and he could go on for 10 or 15 minutes on it. So it was such an interesting thing to pick one of the great minds of our generation.
So what was that like when you guys got towards the end of the conversation and you turned it towards the gospel? Because I think, wasn't he raised around an Anglican church or something? So he has some basic knowledge.
Yeah, we kind of do like a fake out altar call at the end of all of our interviews where we're kind of making fun of bad Christian movies that throw in an altar call at the end. And we did that and he kind of laughed about it, but then did kind of dig deeply into the things that he thinks about God and talk about his experience with the Anglican Church. So it was kind of interesting to see him, a mind like his, wrestle with the gospel and wrestle with the claims the gospel being heard before. So that was a really interesting thing to see that play out in real time.
Yeah, and I appreciated that he engaged it. You know, I mean, you're going to meet with the guys at the Babylon Bee. You know they're all believers and committed believers. To think that wouldn't come up would be like having lunch with Elon Musk and thinking you wouldn't talk about space travel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so it was really nice of him, really gracious of him to even, you know, give us the time of day, much less give us a two-hour interview. And, yeah, it was great of him to be able to actually engage that question in a serious way, which is our hope for that kind of question. Like, you make somebody laugh with an awkward on-the-spot altar call, and then they actually say, well, you know what? Here are my thoughts on God. So it was interesting to actually talk about the gospel and the things of God with, you know, one of the wealthiest men in the world.
Yeah, really, it was really incredible to see that happen. And we should all be willing to get ourselves into those awkward moments with anybody, rich or poor. Talk about some of the new things that the Bee is doing. You guys are getting into a lot of video content now, which has been great, but kind of what's on the horizon, what you're doing now?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of the video content. That's one area that we're expanding greatly is longer form video content and our satirical videos on our YouTube channel. We just did a video where we had Satan respond. He kind of gives a like a post-game press conference to Roe v. Wade being overturned. And that was, you know, those videos go so viral because you're commenting on a current event. You're right. Doing it in a way that's making people think. You're doing it in a way that's making them laugh with kind of the trademark Babylon Bee dry voice. So we're going to continue to grow that. We're going to continue to push the boundaries in different formats. A lot of fun, exciting stuff coming up here at the Bee.
All right, so who I got a big kick out of that one. That's got 1.2 million views. I just put the links up for the Babylon Bee YouTube channel. Satan responds to Roe versus Wade overturn. That was your classic post-game kind of environment. Who played Satan? Because, I mean, obviously he spray-painted his whole body. It was hilarious.
That was Jarrett, who is one of our actors and will kind of co-host the podcast sometimes and help with some writing. He's a professional actor that's been in a lot of different stuff, and he did such a great job. You know, I wrote the script for that, and I'm sitting right off camera, you know, telling him, like, just be super dry, just deliver it completely straight, you know?
Because
he does so many funny character voices and accents and stuff, but he was able to deliver it in such a great, dry way that we just love that video, and all that kind of stuff is great for us.
Were you funny as a kid, Kyle?
I was funny looking, but my family would say that I was always the one that was firing off a witty comment or some sarcastic comment. So they definitely would say I always had that bit of a satirist streak in me.
Yeah.
I never felt like I was particularly funny, but I think they did.
Well, I mean, as long as the audience laughs, it doesn't matter.
As long as they did, yeah.
That's right. What's your favorite thing about working at the Bee these days? I mean, it's been a wild ride, and when we come back, I want to talk about the Postmodern Pilgrim's Progress book, but kind of a day in the life of Kyle Mann. What's your life like at the Babylon Bee?
Our life is crazy. It's surreal, the things that we get to do. But this weekend, we got to go to Vegas and Freedom Fest and interview Senator Rand Paul and interview John Cleese. And, wow. You know, I'm meeting so many people that are just like, I don't even know how I got here. And we definitely don't feel worthy of that, of those kinds of connections. We're just guys telling jokes, you know, so it is a crazy thing.
Well, and I think it's shown us the value of what you're doing. Again, I mentioned that earlier. I think we all really need to kind of assertively get ourselves into a situation where we can lighten up a little and laugh, because like I said before, Kyle, I think we easily sell our joy down the river just based on the breaking news of the day, and our faith should be a lot stronger than that. We're talking to Kyle Mann, the editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee. We're going to talk about the Postmodern Pilgrim's Progress, which will be hilarious. That's the new book. I'll put a link up to that as well with Kyle Mann, editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, reading directly from the BabylonBee.com website. This has hopefully been checked by Snopes. The Babylon Bee is the world's best satire site. That reminds me of Elf. Best coffee in the world, he walks in. Congratulations. Remember that? Totally inerrant in all its truth claims. We write satire about Christian stuff, political stuff, and everyday life. The Babylon Bee was created ex nihilo. That means out of nothing, on the eighth day of the creation week, exactly 6,000 years ago. We have been the premier news source through every major world event, from the Tower of Babel and the Exodus to the Reformation and the War of 1812, which happened in what year, class? We focus on just the facts, leaving spin and bias to other news sites like CNN and even Fox News. Did that trigger you? If you would like to complain about something on our site, take it up with God. Unlike other satire sites, everything we post is 100% verified by Snopes, which gives me a great comfort and allows me to sleep tonight after this interview, Kyle. Kyle Mann, editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee, thanks so much again for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Are you guys ever serious?
No.
Excellent.
Well, I mean, you know, with the dry news type angle, you can always get away with once in a while. We'll do, I think on Good Friday, we always publish an article that says report, it is finished, you know, and I think there's a power to be able to throw that in like once in a while, but we're still using our kind of Babylon Bee news reporting voice for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, which is eminently enjoyable. Okay, so the book that just came out, The Postmodern Pilgrim's Progress, an allegorical tale. And all right, why did you pick The Pilgrim's Progress, and then how do you then take a postmodern take on The Pilgrim's Progress? This is by you, Kyle Mann, and Joel Berry.
Yeah, so we took Pilgrim's Progress, the basic structure, where you have this guy, Christian, who's walking down a narrow road trying to get to the Celestial City. And we took. I loved that. I love the original Pilgrim's Progress, yeah. And I love the setup of it is so great, you know, because you can just plug in all the different, like, temptations that Christians face and, you know, people from outside the faith that are challenging you and are trying to call you off the road. And I found a lot of humor in the original Pilgrim's Progress as well, because, you know, you have this guy that's walking on the road, and then, you know, you have a guy that comes up to him that's like, my name is Idiot. You know, follow me off the road, you know, that kind of stuff. And of course, Christian, you know, does, and he always follows the guy off the road. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, but I think there's a real satire there where you can look at it and go, oh, this is how I live my life too. And so I think there's kind of a Screwtape Letters style satire to it. Probably not intentional on Bunyan's part.
Yeah.
But I think we find some humor there. And so we kind of took that and just turned it up to 11. You know, added a lot of Babylon Bee style humor. We plugged in characters from the modern church that our character encounters on his road to heaven. So that's the idea. It's funny. It's moving. You know, it has some real meaning for people, and it's just a little allegory of the modern Christian life.
Yeah, and so when you're coming up with something like that, obviously you want it to be fun and entertaining. There's the people that will understand the Pilgrim's Progress and that incredible book. That as a homeschooling family, you know, that's like, you can't be a homeschooling family unless you do something with Pilgrim's Progress. They just throw you out of the club. But when you do that, and like when you look at another book like The Babylon Bee's Guide to Wokeness, kind of what's the ultimate goal? If you're going to pray over the postmodern Pilgrim's Progress, Kyle, and ask the Lord to do something with it, what are you asking him to do?
Yeah, we dedicated the book. I don't remember the exact wording, but we dedicated the book to like the quiet faithful, you know, the ones who are just struggling forward one step at a time. And we've, in our Christian life, you know, we've been at the small churches, you know, where there's like a pastor who's just been faithful for 30 years and still only has 25 congregation members who are all mad at him for the color of the carpet, you know, and that's kind of the that's kind of the you know, thing that we want to encourage is just that quiet, ordinary faithfulness. So often we want the Christian faith to be these big, exciting battles and big moments, and you know, those times are going to come, but most of the Christian faith is just trying to be faithful to the gospel and trying to struggle your way to church on Sunday morning. So that's really what we wanted to encourage people with.
Yeah, I'm looking at the dedication page. This book is dedicated to the quiet faithful, forgotten on earth, but remembered in heaven, and to the ones who struggle to keep moving forward one obedient step at a time, solely Deo Gloria to God, the glory alone. And that's the reality for all of us, whether you're a known entity or not, I think in the city of God, when it eventually comes down here and we see these amazing things and these amazing homes and the mansions, however that plays out in heaven, you're going to be like, wow, is that Billy Graham? Who is that? And I think most of the time it's going to be like, you never heard of him, at least not yet. And that's that kind of quiet struggle dealing with the paradoxes and the tension of the Christian life walking through. And we all look at and compare ourselves and go, oh, well, I don't do anything like the Babylon Bee and nobody knows who I am, yada, yada. But God's not judging any of us based on one another. He's judging us people in the faith based on our faithfulness to whatever happens in our own lives. And so how do you guys, like, whether it's with the book, The Postmodern Pilgrim's Progress, I've got links up on Facebook Live for everybody, or you can just go there, amazon.com. It's easy enough to get there, The Postmodern Pilgrim's Progress. How do you kind of look at your mission now? You've been at it for a while, and what are you, for you personally, Kyle, what are you really trying to affect in the world in terms of a kingdom perspective?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, it's a both and thing. Like, we want to put humor out there in the world, and we think humor is a good end in and of itself. Too often, I think Christians, especially Protestants, you know, we use art, and we use movies, and we use books and humor to teach, or to, you know, just to be super didactic, and we want to really make our point. And so we put the message in front of the art form. And now you have Christian movies that aren't very good, but hey, they have a gospel presentation at the end. You know, they're terrible movies, nobody's going to watch them, but they have a gospel presentation. You know, that's kind of too long been the standard in the status quo in the Christian space. So we want humor that's good. We want to be funny first, you know, I think. But at the same time, when you are funny and when you are coming from a true, you know, biblical worldview that's aligned with reality, you're also going to be putting truth out in the world and affecting culture. So that's kind of a nice byproduct of what we do. But ultimately, like, we want to have fun. We want Christians to know that it's okay to laugh, especially at ourselves. And we want to expose the ridiculousness of the secular worldview out there that's kind of encroaching on our territory all the time.
Yeah, all the time. And that's one of the things that I appreciate about the Babylon Bee, and the headlines are coming out, or a new video on the YouTube channel, is that so many of us in the evangelical world, the Christian world, at this point in history and here in America, I think far too many of us are on our heels, and we're afraid to kind of engage in as if we don't have the truth, as if we're on defense, but we actually should be on offense. I mean, even the gates of hell can't prevail against us. And I think that's one of the things that I really appreciate about you guys, that you lean into the moment, the cultural moment. You're not afraid of it. You lean into it and go after it. You mentioned movies. Are you guys going to make one? I think you guys should do, like, you mentioned it earlier. I just lost it because I'm 56. John Cleese and those guys.
Yeah, Monty Python.
Monty Python. Thank you. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on Christian radio, but you guys should definitely do some Monty Python-esque movies.
Monty Python was a British comedy troupe in the 1970s for all the homeschoolers listening to Steve's program here. But yeah, we would love to do something like that. We are making some connections and working on stuff like that right now, and we would absolutely love to take our brand of video comedy and dry satire, sketch comedy, and put it in a longer form and you know, get it out there to a wider audience.
Yeah.
So that would be a lot of fun.
And to do it with excellence, that's one of the things. I appreciate you saying that. And I've been around a lot of Christian movies and Christian movie makers for the past 15 years. And you know, we produced a lot of B movies, and sometimes that's being generous. But if you're going to call yourself a Christian and claim the Imago Dei, you should work with excellence. So I would be super excited to see you guys do that. What about reaching into kind of the secular world? Have you seen, Kyle, some people that are outside the faith that get a little interested because you guys are throwing them a curveball?
Well, yeah, that's one of the cool things about doing what we do at the Babylon Bee, is that it's not most Christian stuff only speaks to the Christian market, mm-hmm. you know, and obviously stuff like the Postmodern Pilgrim's Progress is squarely aimed at that market. But because we're trying to do things to the glory of God and do things excellently and be funny and really we're reflecting what we believe is true out in reality, that God has a sense of humor, that he instilled that sense of humor in us, that's going to resonate with people far beyond just our Christian audiences. So we constantly get people reaching out to us who are atheists or, you know, secular leftists, and they're just like, you know what, I hate your politics. I hate everything you believe in. And yet, you know, you guys are pretty funny. And I think that's pretty cool, because then they do see those serious posts like, report, it is finished. So the message gets out there.
Yeah, that's right. And then they have to consider the fact that Christians maybe are not exactly what they think we are. And anytime you can kind of bust that preconceived notion, I think that's great. Two last questions, Kyle. How can we support everything you and everybody at the Bee is doing? And then how can we pray for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you go to babylonbee.com/plans, we let people support us financially. And that's a great way for us to break away from social media. So, you know, we can support ourselves even if Facebook deletes our account is basically the idea. So we appreciate all our paying subscribers. And you can pray for us just that we continue to retain a great sense of humor about things, and God would continue to bless us with great ideas and fun ideas that bring glory to him and make people laugh.
Yeah, that's awesome and so well said. Kyle, again, thanks so much for your time, and thanks for all your effort and everybody else there at the Bee. We really appreciate you, and it's a huge blessing. And you make me laugh all the time, which is great, helps somebody out like me. But God bless you, my brother. Thanks so much for your time. Hopefully we'll do it again.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Take care of yourself. This is Steve Noble. Boy, that was great. Kyle's just a wonderful guy, soft-spoken, humble, and just amazing that what God has allowed to have happen with the Babylon Bee and expanding their reach and their impact. And it's, you struggle with it. I struggle with it sometimes. I'm like, I'll share this one, I won't share another one. Hey, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. But they're out there engaging the world, whereas a lot of Christians are not. We're kind of hiding in our bubble. They are not. They're leaning into it and engaging the world. Pray for them and support them. BabylonBee.com. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.